entered into the last verse of Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This speaks of assurance and anticipation. Living the Psalm 23 life ought to be a life lived with assurance and an anticipation. We saw last week that this has its foundation in the Lord is. That's the foundation of our assurance. That's the foundation the Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a twofold foundation. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is, and He is my shepherd. That gives us assurance. That gives us, causes us to live in anticipation. Now we see this assurance and anticipation, verse 6. We see it by the first word, surely. Surely. We see it a few words later, shall. That's a word of assurance. Surely goodness and mercy shall. And then he goes on, he says, I will. That's assurance, that's also anticipation. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. All going back to, the Lord is my shepherd. So what is biblical assurance? It's not self-confidence. It is confidence. But again, it's not self that's the foundation here. It's the Lord. The Lord is. God's people ought to be the most confident people on the planet. The least confident in self, but the most confident because the Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd. We see that everything the psalmist says in this 23rd Psalm, he says with a tone of assurance. There's no, as you read the verses, you would have to insert it. You would have to insert doubt in order for it to be there. There's no doubt in here. Everything is spoken with a tone of assurance. All through the Word of God, we see that there is such a thing as biblical or spiritual of assurance. Sometimes and I realize it's probably just it's a habit, but a preacher may fall into the habit of saying, I think this means such and such, when it's as plain as the noonday sun. He needs to speak with assurance. This is what it says. This is what it says. Needs to be assurance. This is what Isaiah is referring to. Notice in Isaiah 26, we're going to look at several scriptures to see this assurance. Isaiah 26 in verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Okay, that's assurance. Peace is assurance. God keeps them in perfect peace. But who does He keep? Whose mind is stayed on Thee? Because he trusteth in Thee. There's assurance there. The individual, we find assurance by turning our mind to the Lord, keeping our mind upon the Lord, whose mind is stayed, there's the key, stayed on thee. There's assurance there. There's peace. God gives that person peace. He gives them assurance. Isaiah 32, verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. That's assurance. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Doing what's right gives assurance. Doesn't save us, but it has a lot to do with assurance. This is what Abraham expressed to Isaac. Notice Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22 in verse 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." That is a statement of absolute confidence. God will. It's not God can. He certainly can, but that's not what he says. He says God will. We know that God can do whatever he pleases. We know that. But it is a special kind of assurance to say God will do such and such. That's assurance. And how could Abraham say this? God will. Because God told him. And God tells you something in his word, and God doesn't tell you something contrary to his word. God tells you something in his word, in accord with his word, you can say, God will. God will. I can say, you can say, every time a child of God is sick, God will make them better. And that's true. One way or the other. He will either remove the sickness, or he will remove them from the sickness. But either way, we have the assurance God will make them better. We know that. It's what Job experienced. Job 19, very familiar verse. Job 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He says, I know this. There's nothing that can change what I know of my Redeemer, says Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. There's assurance. There's no, again, you would have to insert doubt in order for it to be there. There's absolute assurance. And the assurance is in the Lord. The psalmist, all through the psalm, there's times that, and this is why we can identify with the psalmist, there's times that he writes and it's obvious that he lacks assurance, he lacks faith, but for the most part, he writes in a tone of confidence, tone of assurance. He said in Psalm 20, in verse 6, "Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed." I know that the Lord does this. I'm assured of it. He will hear him, that is his anointed, from his holy heaven. He will. Absolute assurance. it's a pretty frustrating thing if you pray, but you're not sure that the Lord even hears. That's a pretty sad place to be. When we pray, we ought to have the assurance that He hears. Oh, He may not grant what we're asking, but we have the assurance that He hears. Amen. He speaks of the saving strength of His right hand. Again, He does so with assurance. Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Okay, that's a statement of confidence. The secret of the Lord is, there's assurance, with them that fear Him. Reverence to God leads to God revealing Himself, the secret of the Lord. And He will show them His covenant. Again, He will. It's not He might. It's not He probably will. But He will. He will. Psalm 48, verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. There's a statement of assurance again. And then there's another one. He will be our guide, even unto death. Now, I may not follow His guidance, but He will be my guide, even unto death. I have God's guidance all my life. We have that assurance. I do not have the assurance that I will follow His guiding, because that's based on me. But I have the assurance of His guidance because it's based upon Him. Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. But let them not turn again to folly or to foolishness. He will speak peace to His people. There's assurance. Psalm 102, verse 17. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise, not think lightly of their prayer. God will not think lightly of their prayer. I knew a man one time, still do. He really get upset about people not being grammatically correct in their praying. That's pitiful. That's pretty sad. If that's not a Pharisee, I don't know what is. God does not just hear the prayers of someone who's grammatically correct. He hears the prayers of His people. But anyway, I told this man one time, I would be more confident that the Lord hears their prayer than He hears yours. And that's the truth. We have assurance that God hears our prayer. What a wonderful assurance it is. Psalm 111, verse 5. He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. That's assurance. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He's faithful. We have that assurance. We don't know what God's going to do many times. Well, we know He'll be faithful to His covenant. He'll be mindful of His covenant. That's assurance. Psalm 115:12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. That's assurance. He says that with assurance. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Every now and then somebody will get under the juniper tree and they'll say, well, God never thinks of me. You better be careful. You've made an attack upon the Lord now. In your self-pity, you've made an attack on the Lord, but it shows a greater problem, and that is a lack of assurance. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Oh, it may not turn out like we wanted it to, but the Lord hath been mindful of us. We have that assurance. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. And it just goes on through the remainder of the psalm, the tone of assurance. Psalm 121, verse 3. He will not suffer or permit thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Again, there's a tone of absolute confidence in those words. Psalm 145, verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them or deliver them. Psalm 149, verse 4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. That's assurance. He will beautify the meek with salvation. All through the Old Testament, we see men and women speaking with great confidence in the Lord. You come to Paul's writings. And Paul was a man who had great assurance. He was a man who had great confidence in the Lord. And that affects the way you live. When you know you're absolutely certain of the Lord, that has a great impact on the way you live your life. In Romans 8, verse 38, he says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. And he's any other creature, he's saying, if I'm missing something, add that also. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's assurance. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can cause Christ to cease loving us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we don't know when that's going to take place. We don't know how it's going to take place. But we know that when it does, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And he goes on in verse 6 and he says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are always confident. We always have this assurance. And as you read Paul's writings, Ephesians 3:20, he expresses great assurance. Philippians 4:19, God shall supply. I can do all things through Christ. There's assurance. In 2 Timothy 1:12, he says, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. His persuasion was in God. John speaks of great assurance in 1 John. He talks often about knowing with absolute certainty. There is a huge difference between confidence in God and confidence in self. When someone says, well, I would never do that. Never would I do that. Mark it down. They're probably going to. Because pride goeth before a fall. Pride goeth before a fall. I've seen it happen so many times. I would never do that. A year later, they're doing it far worse than the other person. But we ought to be able to have great confidence. With God as my helper, I will not do that. The confidence needs to be in Him, not ourselves. Self-confidence will get us in trouble. But confidence in God will have a great impact upon our life. And it's something we ought to have. We ought to have great assurance. In fact, it ought to be getting stronger and more prevalent each and every day. The more our relationship with the Lord deepens, the more acquainted we become with the Lord, the greater our assurance, the more assured we become. And so often we pray for people, Lord, give them assurance. Give them the assurance that they need. Now you can only pray that for certain people. There are some people who need their lives changed in order that they can have assurance. But we all stand in need of more assurance, and what a blessed thing it is to live life with assurance, with confidence. Makes a difference. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this psalm. We thank you, Lord, for how relative it is to our lives. We thank you, Lord, that it can be our lives, that we can live in this psalm, and we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to do just that, to live this Psalm 23 life, that the characteristics of this psalm would be in our lives. Lord, that these things would not be strange to us. We do pray, Lord, for those that are lost, that you would save their souls. We know, Lord, that you're the only one who can. And we just pray, Lord, that you would save their soul. We pray now that you just draw us closer to thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.